Welcome to Earth First Radio News, your source for information about the direct action environmental movement. Saving wild places, plants, and animals takes your help, so please have a pencil or pen and some recycled paper handy to jot down the contact information we try to include with every story. You really can make a difference, so write, call, or defend your local wilderness today. Now, here's the news.
Snowmobile plan all wet. The Bush administration still doesn't have it right on Yellowstone and Grand Teton National Parks. The much watered-down proposal to prevent larger numbers of snowmobiles in the two parks really doesn't consider the totality of the impacts that the machines create. Instead of appeasing snowmobile makers and rental stores, the National Park Service should envision ways to encourage wintertime visitation without damaging the environment. Next week, the Park Service will formally unveil its new plan, which will continue to permit snowmobiles in the parks. The proposal isn't nearly as environmentally friendly as the Park Service would like the public to believe. The problems caused by snowmobile use in the park are well documented. The air at Yellowstone's west entrance is worse than that over Los Angeles. Rangers wear gas masks to protect their lungs. This year, rangers may also wear earplugs to prevent hearing loss. Wild animals bolt from the machine noise, so they get stressed during their most vulnerable seasons, and other park visitors fear for their own safety on the roads and trails. The Clinton administration planned to phase out snowmobile use in Yellowstone, but after President Bush took office, the U.S. Interior Secretary Gail Norton asked for a new study, claiming that scientific research done by the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency was flawed and that previous public comment periods didn't allow for a full spectrum of opinion. The latest proposal is the result, but it too has serious flaws. First, it doesn't reflect a consensus that emerged during the newest public comment period, in which 270,000 out of 330,000 comments received urged a total ban on snowmobiles. Second, although it's an improvement over the existing system, the newest attempt at compromise doesn't solve all the problems. For example, in the winter of 2003 and 2004, the only snowmobiles that would be allowed in Yellowstone would be new machines with four-stroke engines. These machines are cleaner than earlier models, but they still pollute far more than a modern automobile, and they are only slightly quieter than existing snowmobiles. In fact, the new machines will still put out up to 73 decibels of noise. By comparison, Denver International Airport faces noise complaints when jetliners inflict more than 60 decibels on nearby urban communities, and the Park Service is dreaming if it thinks that its call to eventually require all snowmobilers to go on guided tours won't meet resistance. The Park Service may say it is limiting the number of snowmobiles that enter the two parks, but that claim is disingenuous. Currently, around 67,000 snowmobiles enter Yellowstone in an average winter. The supposed new cap would actually let that number zoom to more than 93,000 per winter, most of which would be in Yellowstone. The plan also fails to adequately protect wildlife or the tranquil outdoor experience that other park visitors need. When pressed, the Park Service acknowledges that it could cost $1 million to do the enforcement and environmental monitoring necessary to implement the plan. But for $1 million, Yellowstone could plow far more roads. Only one through the park's northern area is now open to cars in the winter, thereby letting people enter by automobile and avoiding many of the concerns caused by snowmobiles. Or the agency could create a shuttle service between gateway communities and key attractions such as the Old Faithful area. The Park Service needs to provide access for a wide range of visitors, but it's also obligated to protect the values that make our national parks such cherished places. This editorial is from the Denver Post. Cocaine industry killing rainforest. Cocaine users across the world are helping to destroy the Amazon rainforest, Colombia Environment Minister Cecilia Rodriguez has warned. The problems of logging and cattle ranching are well known. Much less widely recognized is the influence of the cocaine trade. The minister said the new Colombian government was launching a policy called Trees for Drugs, under which poor farmers would be paid to protect the forest instead of growing coca, and she called for international funding to help with this. This story by Tom Hirsch of the BBC. Well, that's the news for today. If you have information for Earth First Radio News, please send it to cruiseef@cruiseio.com. You can find archived shows at www.radioforall.net and santacruz.indymedia.org. I'm Uncle Dennis. Thank you for listening to Earth First Radio News. So come